Canoe is an Indigenous written and produced musical theater production about twin sisters discovering their identity and culture in Northern Ontario. This is true on and off the stage. I spoke to Christine Dan DeVino, who plays Constance, one of the sisters. Dan DeVino is an Indigenous musician who is stepping on to her first mostly dialogue theater production. In this interview, we talk about how her career has landed her where she is now, and how working with a mostly Indigenous crew has affected her.
So to start out, would you like to introduce yourself?
Yes, so my name is Christine Dan DeVino, and I am one of the actors, singers in the piece Canoe that will be performed next week at Trinity St. Paul United Church.
So what is Canoe about?
Every single day that I go on set, I ask myself that question. So basically, it is a story about two sisters. So it's based, it's similar to a creation story in a way. It's an Indigenous story of two twin sisters who have had different lives. So one lived with her mother, and the other one, unfortunately, was taken away to residential school. And then they kind of reconnect in midlife. And so it's a story of their trauma, but also discovering who they are and how they are connected because they are twins. And also they discover through the story that they are two-spirited. So they have come, you know, they were in the spirit world as male, and on Turtle Island, which is North America, they've come to life as females. So there's a lot of exploration of what it is to be human and what it is to be spirit and how to live on this land of ours. So it's a very, I believe it's based a bit on some truth, of course, but it's a fictional story, and it's full of humor and full of darkness. So it's a great piece that way. It's balanced out, and that's the human condition, correct? Like, we have days of joy and days of sadness. So that's about the story. And yeah, and then so we have the two twins, and then we have our Turtle Island, who is sort of our creator, and then a tree spirit who is a tree, but really is the canoe who helps us travel through this story.
And how did you get involved in Canoe?
So this thing called social media, a lot of colleagues and friends were sending me this poster to audition. And I was like, nah, I don't think that's for me. Nah, thanks, no. And I think after the 10th forward, I said, well, maybe this is a sign that I need to send a submission. And so I auditioned and waited the process, and I was selected. It was a very different audition process because it wasn't really I'm an opera singer. It wasn't clearly an opera audition. It wasn't a musical theater audition. It was kind of one of those, what kind of audition is this? So I showed up and I said, you know what, let's see what I can do. So that's how I got involved.
I guess even before that, just for a bit of background about yourself, how long have you been in theater and production?
If you ask my mother, since I was born, it's been quite a journey. I've done everything from musical theater to cabaret. I've been a musician. I call myself a musician first and foremost, because I conduct, I compose, I direct, I do all kinds of things. So I've had a very diverse career, and I'm very blessed for it. I have never done, I call it straight theater, meaning like just regular lines. So I've never really done that. So Canoe does explore a bit of that perspective of regular theater approach, even though we are singing. And it's so, in a way, I know why I was selected, is because I have that diverse approach, and I'm also a vocal coach. So I teach a lot of people diverse styles, and this piece, it's not really an opera, it's not musical theater, it bridges all kinds of vocal techniques. And that's why the theater approach is important, because sometimes we are singing, but I would say it's like 1% singing and 99% speaking. So it does approach regular theater. So that's, in a way, to summarize my career, I think that's kind of interesting, to be working on this new, brand new work.
And has your job as a vocal coach, has that played into helping the production at all and helping people?
No, because, yeah, in a way, like, I was hired as a singer actor. However, there was a time in rehearsal, I believe this week, where I was not struggling, but I was like, okay, I'm always late here. And I realized it's because I was using the wrong technique for this scene. And I was just singing way too operatically. And there was just no time for that big sound in this scene. So I said, hey, I asked the production team, I said, can I try singing it a bit more like musical theater? And they said, absolutely. And then all of a sudden, most of the mistakes were gone. And I said, oh, this is so much easier. So I'm not being asked to be a vocal coach, but I'm kind of coaching myself. And also, a lot of the things that I tell my own students and the adults and professionals I mentor is when it's all there, we as the performer have almost nothing to do. And I caught myself at some point and directors were looking at me like, and I said, I'm overacting here. I'm just doing too much. And they're like, yeah, you're killing yourself. We don't know why you're doing this, but... And I said, it's not working. And they kind of smiled. I said, yeah. So I'm being my own vocal coach and my own, you know, practicing what I teach in my own studio. And it's been, that's what I told my studio when I returned back to coaching. I'm looking forward to sharing with them that it does work, what I teach, that, you know, keeping it simple, elegant, and really connecting to the text, the music. And when it's all there, we, as an actor or a singer, we have almost nothing to do. We just have to deliver. We have to sleep, though. That's what's important, and be rested and in good shape. But when it's there, we just have to deliver and let the work speak for itself.
And how long has, I guess, rehearsals been going on?
We are in our third week. So I believe, from what I've heard others speak about this work started in 2010, and there has been workshops, and I believe some of my castmates have been in those workshops, but for this official production we started 2.5 weeks ago, and it's been 6 days a week. So it's intense. It's a lot to process. Today we are moving, so we've been in a rehearsal space for 2.5 weeks. Today we are moving to the venue and discovering the sets and our costumes. Today should be fun. So today I think we are mostly walking on set trying to discover, you know, the reality of the rehearsal space and the venue is very different. So today should be fun.
When is the premiere?
Okay, so we open next week with some previews, and unfortunately I don't have the dates in front of me. So we open next week with, I think we have two previews. So previews, I'm told, see, this is a new word, never even heard this in opera. So a preview is a bit like an open rehearsal where the tickets are very affordable, and we're going to run it like a show. But of course, if something doesn't work, we go, hey, we need to move this chair or this thing or whatever. We keep tripping on it. So it's a bit of a working rehearsal, but still a performance. So I believe we have two of those. And then I whatever the calendar is, next Friday is the official premiere. So I'd have to have a calendar. And I'm sorry, I don't have that in front of me. And I should know the date, but I don't look at dates. I just show up and do my job.
And with the premiere coming up soon, how prepared do you feel?
Fair question. You know, we've been rehearsing 8 hours a day, and of course I rehearse before and after. And the truth is, are we ever prepared? You know, I'm practicing, I'm doing everything I can. The magic of live theater is that we can be prepared, but it's also live theater. It's not film, it's not TV, so anything could happen. So we have, as trained professionals, we have to also leave a bit of energy for what I call the unknown. Because there are comical bits, even in rehearsal yesterday, we think they're comical, but the audience might not think they're comical. So do we leave space for laughter, or do we just keep going, right? And that's the part of live theater. Or if there's a dramatic moment, do we leave space for, you know, a few seconds for the audience to process that? Or so that we can never prepare. We don't know who we're performing for. So that's the magic of live performances. So that we have to just trust that we will have the right instincts for that night.
I think you've touched on it already. I want to rewind a little bit. You mentioned that there's a lot of different musical stylings within Canoe. So what makes Canoe different from, say, just a regular production of musical theater?
Absolutely. A very good question. Well, first of all, we are performing with very old instruments. So we have a harpsichord. The instrument itself might not be old, but it's an old instrument, right? It's been for centuries. We have a lute. When's the last time you heard of a lute in a musical theater piece, or even an opera, right? So that's what's so unique to be working with these, okay, is it four or five instruments now? I can't remember. Regardless, these very different instruments and violin and also the recorder. So we have the recorder, and everyone thinks the recorder is this horrible instrument they heard in school and squawky, but it is one of the most beautiful instruments in the world. It has this tone that's velvety and very close to the human voice, that flow. For example, yesterday in rehearsal, Allison, who is playing our recorder player, I'm not sure how to say it, but even at the last minute when she was, there's one moment she is playing a lot with my song. She said, she has a very high recorder and then a medium recorder. So she used a medium tone recorder to play that melody. And all of a sudden the song, I asked her, I said, you know, is it more difficult for you to play on that instrument? I didn't want to cause, you know, stress. And she said, no, I think it's going to work well. And that song was beautiful, but now it's like, awesome-ish. That's the word I came up with in this production. I'm saying awesome-ish to everything. I don't know if there's any other musical theater piece out there or opera that use the recorder as extensively as we do in this work. It's always been a dream of mine to perform with her, and I guess that's happening.
And when you first showed up and you saw these harpsichords, these lutes, what was, like, I guess the first thought going through your head?
Just awe. Just pure awe that here we are. I don't even know how old these instruments would be, right? Here we are in 2023, brand new composition that has some, and what's interesting is we have like jazz patterns in there, maybe not rock, but like kind of bluesy and poppy patterns. And it's really cool to hear the lute strum with us. It's just interesting. It's just kind of this like, part of me was like, did they have those instruments when they came to Turtle Island? Like, were those on the ships, right? So it's kind of this two worlds meeting together. And even though it's a modern story, it keeps bringing back like the old times of newcomers, which would have been the Europeans coming to Turtle Island, which is North America, right? So it's kind of surreal for lack of a better world. A word, pardon me.
So this production is an indigenous production, and the story is very indigenous in itself, containing a lot of indigenous themes. So why is it important to have these type of stories that really go into, I guess, the indigenous life?
As an indigenous artist who, I'll be very honest, at the beginning of my career, I never said I was indigenous. I didn't feel safe saying that. And I kept that part of my heritage very, very to myself. And as the world became a bit more safe and this kind of openness to speak about our stories and our life, it became apparent that I was not the only one. And this is the first time in my entire life that I've worked with more than one Indigenous person on cast. And it's been healing. It's been a way to ask questions, to realize that I was raised in a very urban setting. It's okay not to know. These heritage were taken from us, but also there are ways to rediscover them. And that, for me, has been one of the most important pieces of this work, to connect with people who can say, hey, if you want to learn more about the language or traditions or history, we can connect you with people. Because to be quite frank, for the last few years, I've been trying to do that. And you know, Google is amazing, but it's not the same as being able to connect with an elder who puts words to how I felt for many years. And it's not all negative. Sometimes it's very important, right? I garden a lot, and gardening, is my way to connect with our planet. And it was so good to hear stories about, you know, the stories that our trees can tell us and the bees, and we are all important. And this concept that the human being is the top of the food pyramid and this, and we're more powerful. I never quite agreed with that. I think the bees are as important as me. If we don't have the bees, we won't have food. And the trees are important, and the water is important, and the earth. And it's all those teachings that, you know, even though we're working on a show, we're quite aware of it, quite aware also of where we've come. And to be able to work in a safe environment, that if someone is struggling, there's a lot of triggers in this show. And it was good that we were able to just say, we need a moment. We need 5 minutes or 10 minutes. Or right now, we just need a break. It's too much. So it's important, and that process has to happen for the healing to happen and for the stories to be shared and experienced. It's not just shared, but experienced with everyone.
You mentioned it about this being the first, your first production with a mostly indigenous cast and working only really with one throughout your entire career, how it was healing. What about it exactly was healing to you?
It's hard to put in words. I guess for me, the best word I keep coming back to, but it's the safety that even saying that there's not, you're not being met with the, oh, you know, like, you know, one thing I deal with a lot. So I guess you don't pay taxes, right? And everything's given to you. And it's like, I guess the prejudice that comes with, or the assumptions, right? And when you're faced with that, you're just like, wow, that's your first opinion of me. I don't pay taxes, like, or whatever, or you must have struggled with addiction. It's like, what? Or people asking questions that are just so, I always figure when people ask questions, it's not always negative but it's not, I keep saying this, it's not my job to educate on every Indigenous issues. My job is to come to work, sing, do the best that I can, and work with my colleagues. I'm not the poster child for Indigenous rights and all of this, right? So it's, you know, it's been great to just let people share if they want to share or not share. If they don't want to share and they just want to sing or act or whatever, that's all we're doing, right? And there's been a lot of that in my life. I can only speak for myself over the years where people reach out to me and they're like, hey, can you tell me about this issue? I'm like, well, I'm not an expert in that. And I only bring what I know. It's been good and bad that, you know, the more awareness is brought, and sometimes I don't have the answers, right? So I just, at the end of the day, I just want to go to work and do what I do, which is singing and acting and delivering my craft. I don't have to be an advocate for everything in my life, right?
Getting off that topic a little bit, why should people go see Canoe?
You know what? Because it's so different. It's just unique. It's fun. And I think they need to come and see the sets. Or I don't know how much I'm allowed to say. The sets will be fun. The inside jokes. There's one inside joke that I created in this show, and I don't know. I think it's funny. But it's also that. It's the ability to experience live theater again. And, you know, we had this thing called the pandemic, which we were all stuck inside and watching, you know, everything on a TV screen or a computer or a phone. And I keep telling this to everyone I know, if you've never been to the theater, if you've never been, just show up, try it. You can leave at intermission. If you don't like it and it's not for you, you're allowed to leave. But I think everyone once in their life needs to experience live theater. They don't have to like it. They don't have to love it, but they have to experience that because it's not like TV. And anything can happen. And I think the previews are $10. And for 10 bucks, you can barely get a meal at McDonald's these days. So it's pretty cheap and it's a great experience.
Is there a scene in particular that you are looking forward to performing live in front of an audience?
You know what? I have two favorite scenes. I'm going to call it the confrontation scene, because I'm a dramatic mezzo-soprano. So drama is my expertise in a way. And probably the final number, I'll just leave it as the final number when we all come together and we have this, it's like the beginning. What's interesting about this show is like the beginning becomes the end and the end becomes the beginning. So there's a full kind of like the circle of life, circle of meaning of life comes to end. There's something about the final number, and especially when the postlude, the instrumental postlude starts to play, it's just, I don't know. It's magical. That's, for me, it is.
And who is this show for?
Anyone, really. Anyone. There is some strong language. So if audience members are bringing their children, I would just caution if that's going to be offensive. Maybe, you know, personally, I think those words are heard in everyday life. But it really is for anyone. Anyone who wants to experience live theater.
So that's all of my questions. Do you have any final comments you'd like to leave off on?
Well, first of all, I'm very grateful for the opportunity to speak with you. And my final comment would be, for anyone who's listening to this interview, if you can't make it to Canoe, that's fine. But please show up for any live performance of theater, poetry, the arts, pandemic was hard on us. So show up for us artists. We need you. We need our audiences back. Thank you.